So we are going to invite Katie up. There are pads and pens on tables dotted around for those of you who like to draw or need to externally process whatever it is as you listen. And Ellie's just handing out some activity sheets for the kids should they want to do that. But I'm sure Katie will be more than exciting to listen to as well. So can I pray for you? Wonderful. Father God, we thank you for Katie. We thank you for how you have walked with her to this point. And we just pray your blessing on her now as she speaks to us, as she unpacks a bit of her story with you to us now. We pray for your grace and your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you very much. I will try not to speak too quickly. Please just like wave your hand and say, Katie, I can't understand a word you're saying, because I do have a habit of talking very quickly. Anyway, I'm Katie. Dan asked me to share my testimony about 2 weeks ago, maybe a bit more than that. And I was like, nah, I don't want to do it. And then I was like, oh, I should do it. And the following verse just kept on popping into my head. So it reads as follows. It's from the letter of Philippians. Paul is writing to the church in Philippi. And what he says is this. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I will always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. And that's been a promise I've carried through my faith journey, really. A couple of weeks ago in our home group, we were thanking God for the good work that he'd done in our lives, and we were challenging each other to name them. What has God done to you? How has God changed you? What promises has he fulfilled? Good practice for this, really. But that's kind of the theme that we're going on. I have a bit of a weird story. I was raised in Bangladesh. My parents were missionaries. That's what it looks like if no one's ever seen what Bangladesh can look like, other than horrible stories in the news. And I grew up surrounded by wonderful people of faith. I can't remember a time when I didn't have a form of faith, whatever childlike structure it had at that point. I even have a photo of a missionary reading me the Bible. You know, this is sort of the level of Christian support and community I was surrounded by. When I was 10, we moved to Dhaka, which is the capital. A bit busier, more people. And then I went to boarding school from year 9. And I was there for 3 years, and it was really a foundational point in my life because it was the first time that my faith became my responsibility and the first opportunity I'd had to really engage with it on my own rather than following along with what my family were doing. It was a Christian boarding school. It was a little bit strict. We had to go to church on Sunday, but you could choose which church you went to. There were compulsory Christian activities and voluntary Christian activities. I could go to Bible studies. I could go to prayer meetings. I could go to worship sessions. And I got to choose to go along to that, and I got to choose to engage. And I think that was very foundational to me and was the first opportunity where I had to rely on God to get me through trouble. Living with 15, 13-year-old girls is never easy, even if you are a 13-year-old girl. I have a memory of experiencing the presence of God most powerfully when I was about 14. I was at a youth weekend away with my year group because we never left each other's company during the term. And we were having a worship session. And I can remember I was so distressed because I was just like, I'm not connecting. This is usually so affirming of my faith and just nothing is happening. And I had this sense that I was struggling through and nothing was getting through and I just wasn't reaching the end. Kind of like that. That is a photo of me refusing to go any further up a hill. And that is how I felt during this worship session. And then this sense of utter peace came on me. And I had this image, and I'm not usually someone who gets images, but it stuck with me since then, of having been climbing a tower that I just couldn't get to the top of. And then it's like someone lifted off, like a lid almost. And suddenly I was on the outside and I could see this view and this sense of peace, the sense of, you know, just like relief that it wasn't my job to climb the tower, that God had let me out and I could now see this utter gift of grace, that I didn't have to do anything to earn it, that I didn't have to climb any further because God was there and God had done that work for me. And that stuck with me. That was I think we all have moments where we really feel the presence of God that we take with us through the harder times, and that's definitely been one of them. When I was about 16, we moved to the UK. My family moved to Gloucester. That was fun. And then I spent 2 years here at school in Cheltenham before I started thinking about going to university. My university experience was very much, looking back on it, a theme of God continuing to work in me. I don't think I recognized it at the beginning or didn't acknowledge it, but I'll tell you the story now. I wanted to do medicine. I was a pretty good school student. I got A's and A stars through my GCSEs, pretty confident going into my A-levels. And I was like, this is going to happen. I'm going to get to medical school. My grade's going to be good enough. It's just a matter of applying for the right university, getting the right personal statement, easy ozy. Slight hiccup was because we'd only lived in the country for 2 years. I didn't qualify for domestic fees. So we had $9,000 a year or $27,500 a year. So I applied for a deferred entry. My parents were like, no. And didn't get in, but that wasn't unexpected given I'd applied for a deferred entry. Just got a couple of interviews, got some practice, felt quite confident. And then I got my A-level results. And I got a B in my chemistry by a whole 6 marks. It was mortifying. And I sat there, I got an email from the school with my results, and I was devastated. And my parents were like, oh, there, you know, we're looking at a gap year, I'm gonna have to resit all these exams, I'm gonna have to go shamefacedly to the medical schools and hope that they see some value in me despite the fact I haven't got the grade that they want, because you kind of need an A for medical school. And then that morning, I got a phone call. Hello, it's Aberdeen University. Hello. Have you got your A-level results yet? Yes. So you know you've got a B in chemistry? It's like, yes. And you know you can't get into medical school with a B in chemistry? I'm like, yes. We've got a space for you this September if you want to accept it. I was in shock, you know. They said, you've got 24 hours to think about it, but term starts in 3 weeks. So they hung up, sent me an email confirming the offer, and kind of sat there in a bit of shock. Thankfully, and this is where I can really see God working, is that Aberdeen University hadn't clocked that they could charge me $27,500 a year and only charged me $9,000. And this was such an, this was an event that, like, it was only God working in that. The series of coincidences, the series of things that I had absolutely no control over, God was very clearly sending me to Aberdeen. And who was I to say no? My mum then said something to me that really stuck. And she was like, Katie, if God's this clear about what he wants you to do, it's usually quite difficult. I was like, oh, don't be pessimistic, it'll be fine. I'm going to university, it'll be great. And some of it was. I met my husband, who is not here today, but that's what he looked like when he was 19. But I spent the next 6 years at medical school learning that I was too reliant on myself and not trusting in God. Having been very confident in my abilities academically, I spent the next 6 years failing exams left, right, and center and passing resits by the skin of my teeth. And every time I was aware that I'd been trying to do it by my own strength. But every year I was like, oh, well, I need to do this differently, and I need to do that differently, and I need to start revising earlier, I need to use this tip or trick or things like that. And then I would get anxious about it, and I was like, oh, and not be able to start, and get so frozen in my fear and in my desire to be good enough to do this by myself. And that cycle continued until my final year when I actually failed my final exam and had to resit the last year of medical school. Matt called it my emo phase. I was miserable. I was devastated. I was ashamed. I couldn't face the thought of walking back into medical school with a bunch of people who were the year below me, who knew that I was had been the year above them, and tell everybody every other week, because you change wards pretty consistently, that I'd failed and I needed to come back and do it again. And oh, I was mortified by it. And I sat there at the beginning of the year, I was like, God's teaching me something here. God is going to use this year to make me more like him. And that was true. It wasn't a comfortable experience. I had to learn to let go of my pride in my academics. I had to learn to say that actually it wasn't about how good my exam results were. My value comes from the fact that I'm loved by God and I've accepted his sacrifice and his grace. It was a challenge, and I had a year to practice, and I got a bit better at every time saying that I'd failed and I'd started, and it became less of a gut-wrenching stab to the stomach and, you know, melting point of ugh-ness to say that, because actually I did get the time, and that year God really did teach me that I had been putting too much expectation on my own abilities, and that my value as a child of God doesn't come from what I have done, but from the fact that God loves me. I had some wonderful friends who helped me through that time, prayed with me, listened to me moan about it, listened to me struggle with the same thing over and over again. And another thing of God's timing, then COVID hit. And suddenly I had an awful lot more time to spend with God, sitting and chewing and really re-centering myself on him as my father and him as my savior and not on myself. It was God working and continuing that promise of continuing that good work. He'd started it with me getting into medical school, which had nothing to do with me, and he continued it all the way through my time in medical school. And then, funnily enough, because COVID hit, I didn't have to sit another exam, and he graduated me anyway. So really, God was very definitely working through that whole experience. So I graduated. There's a picture of me with lots of goggles and bits and bobs on during the beginning of COVID, and I got to start working as a doctor. And it has been so clear to me since I started work that that's what God's called me to do. Aberdeen was where he wanted me to be. He has continually blessed me with a real sense of purpose in my work that holds on to that promise that he is continuing to work in me and he is going to use me for his purpose. And it happens to be that I quite like doing it, which is very, very nice. This is really an example of how God continues to work in us. I still struggle with my pride. I still feel that I can do my revision for exams by myself and then spend a lot of time realizing I can't. But God is going to continue to work in me through that and through other aspects where I'm struggling. So just to wrap it all up, I'm going to go on to the couple of verses later on in the same passage when Paul is still writing to the Philippians, and he prays the following. I pray that your love may abound more and more. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So yeah, that's my story. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Katie. Who would like to pray this for Katie to continue in her work? Yes. So if you would like, we're going to pray for Katie now, I've decided, because God has put her in work as a doctor and as she's clearly said, is working in and through her and continues to do so. So we're going to bless her. So if you're able to and would like to reach out a hand so that we can bless Katie. If we could keep that up on the screen, yeah. So Katie, we pray that that God's love may abound more and more in you. That as you love and serve patients, as you love and serve your colleagues and your city, that you will know his presence with you and that you will grow more and more into what he has for you. In Jesus' name, amen.